Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Have you ever heard of Christian Herder? Anybody know? If you're from Massachusetts, maybe you remember him. Christian Herder was a governor of Massachusetts, and he was up for re-election. And so you know how politicians are when they're up for re-election. They are everywhere. They're glad-handing. They're shaking hands. They're kissing babies. They're doing everything they possibly can to connect with their constituents. And so Mr. Herder was out about in Massachusetts, and he spent an entire Saturday just meeting people and getting his face out there asking for votes. And he finally got done about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he ended up at a little church picnic. And so he was famished. He hadn't eaten all day. And he went through the line. And they were passing out fried chicken, the gospel bird. And he got a piece of... I always call fried chicken the gospel bird. Anyway, so they always have it at potlucks for some reason. So he got a piece of fried chicken. And he was hungry. He's like, ma'am, can I please have another piece of chicken? And she's like, well, you know, no. My instructions are only one per customer. So no. And he's like... So he asked, he was really hungry, he said, please, I'm really famished, I haven't eaten all day, I'd really appreciate it if you... She's like, well, sorry, but those are my rules, those are my instructions, can't make an exception, you make an exception for everybody. Well, Herder was normally a pretty humble guy, but for some reason he decided to throw his weight around this time. He said, ma'am, do you know who I am? I'm the governor of this state. Now, can I have another piece of chicken? And the lady looked at him and said, sir, do you know who I am? I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Move along! So, isn't it interesting how some... It drives you crazy how certain people think that the rules don't apply to them. And I mean, it really is crazy. Now, before we get all on board, sometimes as Christians, we can act like the rules don't apply to us. And that's where we kind of go today, because Paul is writing this letter to these Christians in Rome. And if we read the letter, we can kind of tell what's going on in the church. One thing is they're like the Hatfields and McCoys. The Jews and the Gentiles are arguing about what they want. And it was sad to see in the years that I've been in ministry, most, not all, but most church arguments and fights have very little to do with deep theological issues as much as personal preference. Churches split over the type of music they have or what color carpeting they have, neither of which have anything to do with salvation now, do they? I did get an amen to that, so maybe inside. Now, I understand. Now, I totally get it. I totally get it that, if there's some real deep theological issues, not like, a decade ago, we were part of a denomination and we recognized the direction of the denomination. We had some very deeply theological differences, some deep theological differences with the direction of the denomination. So much so that those theological debates finally came to us to a place to say, look, we have to be where the Bible speaks. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where it's silent, we're silent. And we had to make some hard decisions there. But we tried to do it in as loving a way as possible. But what we're talking about today, and the Apostle Paul is saying that something is happening in the church that they were kind of acting like, because they were Christians, that they didn't have to follow civil law. And so that's where we begin to go today. How do I, as a follower of Christ, respond and deal with civil government? Now, again, there's some interesting things, and Paul's not silent on this. And I know it's an election year, and that grieves my heart, because during election years, the church gets more divided than just about any other group. And I'm not saying that Christians should not be involved in politics, because I believe we should. God has given us a voice and we should use our voice. But folks, we should be Christian before we're Republican or Democrat or Martian or independent or whatever you are. We should be Christians first. And our faith and our relations with our brothers and sisters in Christ shouldn't be one of these things where if they disagree on something that we say, well, you're disfellowship. That's not how it is. Not everybody in this room hates raisins. And I get that. I can be your bestest buddy. In fact, I will get along with you better if you do eat raisins, because you can eat all of mine. Then you can fill up and I can eat the chocolate chip. Okay, so let's go on. Let's see what does Paul say. No one liked that. What did Paul say about authority? Romans 13, verse 1. Let every person... Let's all read this together, because I want to make sure you get this in your spirit, right? Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Now, who is included in this word, every person? Everybody except me. Right? That's kind of how we look at it. Everybody, Paul's pretty straightforward here. Let every person. He's talking to the church. He is dealing with the church and the church's refusal to understand and to be submissive to civil authority. What we know from other historians at the time is that there were all kinds of rebellions going on from Christians rebelling against this against civil authority. And Paul is trying to tell them, wait a minute here. You realize that civil authority is not spiritual authority. They're two different things. And newsflash, not everyone is going to receive Christ. And God knows that. God understands. Sometimes we view civil law as if it is spiritual law. Newsflash, it's not. There's some civil laws that make no sense to me. We tried to do children first. And we, you know, when we got into trying to do a licensed daycare, oh my, oh my. We realized there are I'm not kidding, there are manuals and books and things, and some of them make absolute sense. And I got to tell you, some of them are just crazy. But the bottom line is this, that was where it was. We had to submit or be subject to that authority because of how it was. Now we could sit there and say, oh, we're going to withdraw and we're going to put borders around our... No. God has given us the ability to be Christ-like. That's what we're going to get to. This word subject to means to put under. It means to have... it was actually a Greek military term, meaning to arrange in troop divisions in a military fashion under command of a leader. Now, in the non-military use, it was a voluntary... Everybody say voluntary. A voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, or carrying a burden. Now, how many of you like submission? How many of you don't like submission? How many of you just resist authority? How many of you aren't going to say anything at all to me today, no matter what? You're proving my point. So remember, God, Israel asked God for a king. And guess what? God gave him a king. And God told him, here's what the king is going to do. He's going to take. It's not like the federal government. He's going to take. And after he gets done taking, you're going to cry. And they still said, yep, we want a king because we want to be like every other nation. Guess what God did? He didn't throw them out. He said, okay. And he gave them King Saul. And the purpose of giving him King Saul... I know none of us like this, Malin. None of us like this today. And the purpose of giving a King Saul was to turn their hearts to be ready for a King David, which is ultimately going to push them towards welcoming the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. So as we begin to press under, does that mean that all laws are good, or that we're going to agree with all of them? No, don't look too closely at that slide, because it was supposed to get edited and it didn't get edited. Not all laws are necessary things that we're going to agree with, okay?
There are things that have just happened recently that most Christians, in fact, there are laws that have been made that go totally contrary to the Bible. But just because civil government says you can do something doesn't mean that we as Christians do it, because we submit to God's law first. And because we submit to God's law first doesn't mean that we reject civil authority. You right? All right. So how do we conduct ourselves? How do we handle this? Well, Paul tells us that we're to be subject to the governing authorities, but it's not just dealing in Rome. He writes, when he's writing to Titus, he says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always gentle toward everyone. And some of you might think, well, that's just the Apostle Paul, and he's kind of a loose cannon, he's kind of out there. Well, okay, let's look at the Apostle Peter, because Peter says something eerily similar in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Listen to Peter's words. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. That includes the chicken passer out, our lady. Whether it be by emperor or as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants to God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. So how are we to conduct ourselves? Both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul say, conduct yourselves with two words that we love, respect and submission. Now, I totally get that it's a juicy, juicy topic right now to say, well, there's bad examples. I mean, right now everyone's, oh, the police are evil. No, they're not. Okay, the bottom line is they're there as civil servants. Now, I totally get that sometimes there are bad apples. I totally get that understanding. But why in the world have we adopted a philosophy in our life that rather work within a system, we'd rather get on social media and destroy it? Why have we gotten to this place? We as parents, if we don't raise our children and teach them to be respectful, and then we want to fly off the handle at everything we disagree with. Am I in the house today? Because it got really eerily silent just now. Teach your children. There's no other instance. The church cannot take your place as a parent. The school district cannot take your place as a parent. The police, now I said it, yeah. The police cannot take your place in instituting an understanding of respect. It begins with the family, and it begins as something that God has ordained. God gives authority. And what's sad is many Christians are the first ones to squawk and reject it. God, he's saying, now does that mean that we don't do anything? Absolutely not. It means we are called to be active. Be active in your government. I want Christians to be in places of governing and to be, but they should be because of their integrity, their love, and their wisdom. Not because of their wickedness and not because of their ability to be two-faced. That's not how it should be, guys. And so he goes on here. I know, this is an interesting message today, and you're going to love it as it gets farther. I'm saying sarcastically. Okay, Romans chapter 13, 2 through 5. Therefore, whoever, everybody say, whoever, resists the authorities, resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Okay? For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. How many of you have ever been riding on the highway of the interstate, and you look in the rearview mirror and you see a state police or you see a county police or a sheriff or something, and immediately you get nervous and you look at your speedometer and you double check your seatbelt and you make sure. How many of you just had that quick, real quick panic attack? Yeah. And do you know why we do that? Because the speed limit may say 65, but we think, what's it really mean? Because, yeah, it says 65, but is he going to pull me over for 69? How about, 72 is gracious. How much can I debate that it's the size of my tires, or maybe that, you know, there's wind resistance? How much am I willing to really argue this? You see, we do these things. Or, you know, at times, I'll admit, sometimes I get in a hurry, and I'm not saying it's a good thing, it's a bad thing. But there are times that I have, you know, been in a hurry, and I got in my car, and all of a sudden I hit an intersection, and there's an officer of the law, and I realize that my seatbelt's not on, and I do the yawn, grab the thing, and pull over. He was here all along. I don't know what it is. I was going to get a shirt made just with a little Velcro thing that stuck there, just so I could... But I didn't do it because that would be dishonest. So I'm ratting myself out. So for those of you who have a panic attack, you know what? You wouldn't have it if you just followed the law, right? Am I correct today? Okay. Hey, in all seriousness, you know, Renita and I used to live, and we had a ministry that was predominantly inner city. And it was funny because I was always brought up to respect authority. That's how my house operated. Because in my house, when I was raised, if you were rude to a teacher, if there was an incident at school, my parents were going to call the teacher, and they would always side with the teacher and light me up. Now, I get... That's just how I was. And same with police. I was taught, if you see a police or a fireman or any type of first responder, you respect them. That's what I was taught. But we had individuals around who had a totally different upbringing. And the minute that they would see a peace officer, they would see any type of law enforcement, it was immediately an oppositional response. And I totally get that there are differences, and we're in a rural community, and this is not a large urban area. So our experience here is different, okay? And I understand that there's all kinds of, it's a complicated matter. But constantly having an attitude of disrespect only makes things worse. Having no ability to respect and submit to authorities. Well, what if I don't agree with them? Oh, you know what? There's a process. And we're going to get to that in a minute, what happens when civil authority conflicts or contradicts spiritual authority. We're going to get to that piece. But at the beginning, we can't get around the fact that Paul and Peter both wrote to the church, to say, y'all quit being jerks. Be submissive. That's my translation. That's not exactly what he said. He didn't say that. He basically said, be in subject to the authorities that are there because God ordained them. You know, they're there to protect us. He goes on, would you have no fear of the one in authority? Then do what's good. You will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. So God uses civil authority. Right? God uses civil authority. There's a reason that there's a speed limit. It's to keep people safe. There's a reason that there are traffic laws. It's to keep, well, whether you agree or not, that having a seatbelt or any particular law is a different debate. The fact is that it is there to keep us, it protects us. What happens when there is no civil authority? When there is no civil government? What happens when we have no law? Well, back when Heather was in Children First, I was in there and I was doing the Bible lesson with a bunch of these little kids, and it was fun. I always really, really enjoyed doing it. And Heather was had to step out, and so I had the class for a second. And as I was teaching the class, I had to get something. And I turned my back. I'm not kidding. Less than 30 seconds, and I turned around. Chaos and anarchy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You daycare people. I pray for you. It's crazy. It was like, what happened? What? It was total chaos. Okay, let's look at adults. Well, those are kids. Okay. Our nation has been involved in several wars, several conflicts recently in the Middle East. We're not going to debate the value of whether they're just... That's not the point of the argument. The point of the discussion is this. When we left, there was no strong civil authority in place. And in a very short amount of time, with no civil authority in place, chaos ensued, and now we got a huge mess. And that's not really up for debate. That's factual. In places where there's very little respect or very little governance, chaos ensues. And so, civil authority protects us. So why in the world do we constantly resist it? It's a hard issue, I believe, that Paul is getting to, and I believe that the same thing that Peter is getting to. So what is our response? So point number one is all authority is from God, but we should have a Christ-like response to authority. So Romans 13, 6 through 10. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Yay, taxes! Boo, I know. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect. I like how he says this. Respect on whom respect is owed. Honor on whom honor is owed. Sometimes you have to respect the office, period. And then that's going to give you the ability to have the correct witness. Or get involved in a Christ-like way to institute change. Owe no one anything except love for each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this one word. I love it how he brings it back to Christ. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What Paul is saying is this, guys, you're believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how you're dealing with your civil authority is hurting your witness. Staging riots, which is what was happening here. They were staging riots. They were having uprising. He's like, look, what you're doing is you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're not exuding the love of Christ. You're exuding hate and anger. And what is really most important? Paul's making the case, as Peter made the case, that nothing is as important as your testimony. Nothing is as important as your eternal obligations. So here's what it means. What does it mean? Does it mean that we're not to be involved in our communities? Absolutely not. Be involved. I applaud and I totally respect people who care enough about their communities to go make a difference. Praise God for those people. Praise God for individuals who do it. And we as Christians also bear the additional responsibility of doing it in a Christ-like manner and allowing our witness so that our words don't invalidate our thought or our intent or our cause. Amen? So how is a believer supposed to respond in these areas? It's a simple word, Christ-like. Christ-like in our response. So if our first point is God created all authority, here's our second point. Everybody say all. All authority is under God. John 19. See, some people try to pull this thing. Well, what if there's a law that comes in what if civil authority is in conflict with spiritual authority? I'm going to tell you, that doesn't happen very often. It does happen, but not very often. And Jesus has this conversation with Pilate. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and the authority to crucify you? And Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless it was given to you from above. In Acts chapter 4:19, the apostles Peter and John were preaching, and they were arrested, and they were told, don't preach about Jesus anymore. And so they called them in verse 18 and 19 of chapter 4 of Acts. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than them, rather than God, you must judge. So what do we do when there's a conflict between God's law and civil law? In the Old Testament, King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, nobody can pray to anybody except me. And Daniel said, guess what? That don't fly. That's in conflict with God's law. And so he didn't make a big thing. He didn't go run out and cause a rebellion. He quietly and respectfully followed God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, look, when we blow the trumpet, everybody's got to bow down and worship this image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had lived their life in submission to civil authorities. Therefore, they were a tremendous witness and example. They weren't hot-headed. They had their stuff in check, and they were tremendous examples, and they refused to bow down and worship, and that didn't spare them the fiery furnace. They got chucked in the fire, but God was with them. So, is there a time, since all authority is under God, how do we respond to these things? Well, we have to respond Christ-like. Okay? There are things, and you say, well, Pastor, you just talked on both sides of the coin. Yep, I did. And you'll know. I really believe that if we look through examples of history, and certainly people who study end time prophecy know that in the end, Christians will be persecuted. In the Middle East right now, it's sad. I mean, didn't we just have our State Department finally made the declaration of genocide because Christians were being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ? How will we stand, brothers and sisters, if that day should come, the United States of America, where they say, we outlaw Christianity? Do we take up swords and rebel? Well, what we're supposed to understand is we got to follow God's law first and be Christ-like first. And that's a hard thing, and it's a scary thing to talk about. So how do we respond? Well, number one, get underneath God's authority. That's my final point today. In Romans 13, here's what he says. He says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So be loving. That's what he's getting to. Why are people, in response to things that they struggle, they lose their love in their passion? He says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we had first believed. Night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Brothers and sisters, civil authority is ordained by God. Civil authority is used by God. I encourage you to pray for your government. Pray for your president. Pray for Congress. Pray for the Supreme Court. Pray for who is being nominated as a successor to Justice Scalia. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. It's important that we do that. It's important that we do this in a Christ-like. Not all are going to respond to Christ, but thank God for the peace that civil government brings to us. In closing and in conclusion, and thank you for your patience today, because this is a hard thing to do, because we're supposed to be active and we're supposed to be involved, and praise God that we are. Do so in the counsel of Paul and the counsel of Peter, is that we do so in a Christ-like manner, and that we understand government. We don't sit there and disrespect law enforcement and disrespect politics. I get it. I'm frustrated with politicians. Anybody else? I'm frustrated with Washington, D.C. I'm frustrated. I really am. But at the same time, how we respond to that, we respond. Why do we think that prayer is not a big deal? Let me conclude with this story of Martin Niemöller. Martin Niemöller was a pastor in Germany who sent, originally, when Adolf Hitler rose to power, he sent a letter to congratulate Hitler to his rise for power. And later on, when he came to see the truth, he reflected on his political naivety with these words. In Germany, they came first for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me. And by that time, no one was left to speak up. Brothers and sisters, God has given us a voice. Use your voice, but allow your voice to reflect the love, the wisdom, the attitude, the respect of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Pastor Michael from First Christian Church. Thanks so much for giving of your time and joining us in the broadcast of the First Christian Church. We consider it an honor to serve you, and we are here for you. If there's anything that you need, prayer concerns, or if you'd just like to discuss perhaps something you heard in the sermon and maybe it triggered a thought in you, feel free to reach out to us. There are links on our website, www.fccpittsfield.org. We'd love to connect. God bless you, and again, have a wonderful week in Jesus.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.